generous God, pour your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that as we break open your word, our hearts may be broken open to receive your truth for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. I'm going to be speaking today about fear, faith, and faithfulness. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. We've heard those words twice this morning in the Old Testament reading and again in the Gospel. So God must really want us to hear that message today. Between us, we probably share a lot of fears. Fear of spiders, fear of balloons, fear of heights. I think of those as little fears. Not that they're trivial, but with care, and if other people are kind, we can avoid them or manage them. Being afraid of spiders probably doesn't make me difficult to live with. Then there's the fear of being caught on a Swiss train without the correct ticket. That, of course, is the stuff of nightmares. But even that can be managed or avoided with research and careful planning and, again, perhaps the kindness of friends. So a huge thank you to those of you who made possible our delightful trip to Luzern and Rigi on Friday with a wonderful Gemeinde Tageskarte, one of the best things of Switzerland, almost as good as the chocolate and the beer. And we did get right to the top of Rigi, wonderful. But those fears I've mentioned, of course, are not the sort of fears that God is addressing when God says, do not be afraid. It's the big fears we need to deal with, the fears that damage and distort our lives and relationships. What was Abram afraid of? He's still Abram at this point. He's not yet become Abraham. And in the previous chapter to the passage we heard this morning, Abram has been engaged in some big battles, literal and brutal battles, fighting for his very survival. So maybe he's afraid of his enemies coming to exact revenge. But then a much deeper fear emerges. The fear of dying without a true heir. Without a child of his own, flesh of his own flesh. Was this at root a fear of being insignificant, of being forgotten, of his life having no meaning? Do you empathize with that? When Jesus says to the crowd, do not be afraid, what is it that they are afraid of? Well, probably similar things to us. There are the fears you have when you are young. Fear of failure. Fear of not finding that lifetime partner. Fear of being rejected. Of not belonging. Fear of not being liked. Of being left out. Those fears of the playground that somehow stay with us. And then there are the fears of old age, fear of illness and incapacity, fear of loss and of loneliness, fear of not being able to cope, fear of unfamiliar technology, all those apps designed by young people and that we oldies find so challenging, fear of change and disruption, that leaves us feeling no longer in control. Fear of losing power and dignity. And if we look deeper, maybe also for some of us, there is the fear of being wrong, the fear of being found out. And let's not forget the fears most of us may be protected from because of our wealth and privilege. I'm talking of the fear of poverty, hunger, homelessness, war, and violence. We live in fearful times, and we are full of anxieties. Is there anyone among us who is never, ever afraid of something? We probably also share some coping strategies, false solutions, including various addictions, and also the greed and covetousness I preached about last week, surrounding ourselves with stuff in order to hide our fears from ourselves and others. But there are many other ways of responding inappropriately to our fears. Let me name a few. Bullying behavior, anger and irritation, being a control freak, micromanaging others, attention seeking, hiding behind a facade of arrogance or boastfulness. Do you recognize any of these, perhaps just tiny examples of them, in yourselves or in others? What is instead the godly solution to our fears? It is simply to remember that God is God and we are not. It is to place our faith in God and the things of God and the promise of the kingdom. The remedy for fear is faith. But what is faith? It's not adherence to a set of dogmas. It's not being able to recite the catechism or quote Bible texts. It's not obedience to ecclesial authority, nor religious observance, nor the keeping of strict behavioral rules. Faith is about belief, not beliefs. The opposite of faith is not uncertainty or doubt or the asking of questions. Look at Abraham, who questions God and is not rebuked. How is it, he asks, that you will make me a father of a great nation when I remain childless? And God answers, I am your shield and I will be your reward. God shows him the stars and repeats the promise, and Abraham finds himself becoming a person of faith. The opposite of faith is mistrust. But Abraham has already learned and continues to learn enough to know that he can trust God. The heading for that Old Testament passage in many Bibles is God's covenant with Abraham. A covenant is stronger than a promise, but more intimate than a contract. It's a very personal thing, and it's Abraham's growing and personal relationship with God that leads him to a deep trust in God. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, says the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, the conviction of things not seen. Abraham hoped for an heir, a son of his own flesh. His deepening relationship with God led him to a place of faith. Abraham learned that God is faithful and therefore always to be trusted. God is good and therefore always to be trusted. God is love and therefore always to be trusted. This is the same faithful, good and loving God whom Jesus knew and called Father. And so Jesus is able to echo God's words to Abraham. Do not be afraid, says Jesus to the crowd. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In fact, as I learned from various commentaries, according to the original Greek of Luke, Jesus speaks in the past tense. Your Father was pleased to give you the kingdom. It's already happened. This isn't a promise that may or may not be fulfilled in the future. The kingdom is already here. the kingdom of grace, generosity, mercy, and peace. It's already here, among us and around us and within us. As Tom Wright puts it, the kingdom of God is God's sovereignty, sweeping the world with love and power, so that human beings, each made in God's image and each one loved dearly, may relax in the knowledge that God is in control. Of course, it may not always feel like that, because there is always an element of now and not yet about the kingdom. We are in the in-between times, which is why we are urged by Christ to pray daily, "Thy kingdom come." We may be relaxed, in Tom Wright's words, but we are also waiting, alert and ready and watchful, like servants awaiting the return of their master from a wedding. Ready and watchful and unafraid, because we trust in God's love. And if nevertheless we are still anxious and fearful, what then? If we catch ourselves behaving badly or responding inappropriately in ways I described earlier, with anger or irritation or arrogant or hurtful comments or self-indulgence or self-harm, well then, we each have a responsibility as disciples of Christ to take a good, deep, honest look inside ourselves, to try and discover what hidden wounds and fears are driving us. Here's another quote I came across this week from the Sufi mystic Rumi. "Your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it." For the word love, we could substitute God or truth or wisdom or the kingdom. Our task is not to seek God or truth or wisdom or the kingdom, but merely to seek and find within ourselves all that we have built against God, truth, wisdom, the kingdom. All the barriers we have built up to protect us from what we fear, and which end up shutting out the only thing that can ultimately save us. This honest self-examination can be done alone or with a partner or a good friend or even a therapist. But the best way of all is to do such soul-searching with God in the prayer of the heart. Not the sort of prayer that consists of endless babbling and requests, but that deep, silent prayer, which consists mostly in listening, opening the heart to God's indwelling love, that perfect love that casts out fear. Amen.